we are here with the very relaxed David Wolf. The amazing David Wolf, who wrote 100 books and gave a million lectures.
I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet, but it's a lot. Sure. Lectures. There's a few books out there, too.
Yeah. Last one I didn't read yet because it's just released.
Which one? The Chaga book?
Yes.
Yeah. It just came out.
Yeah. And this one, the Eating for Beauty, is just translated in Dutch and you launched it yesterday.
Yeah. That's so great. I'm so happy about it.
I want to ask you a few questions. First of all, how did you start with raw food?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's certain seeds that get planted when you're a child. And there's also, you know, you have a certain destiny. And there's a lot of factors. You know, there's a certain predisposition in your family, I think, to get into natural foods and also growing food and growing orchards. So I think the first real seed was planted when I came to California for the first time in 1977. And I think it was the winter 1977, although I can't quite recall. I'd have to go look back and see really when it was. It was like, I think it was the winter of 77. And then we stayed that winter, and then we started planting fruit trees at my uncle's farm in California. And then we ended up, by the end of, I think, the summer of 1978, we planted several hundred fruit trees on that property. You know, I didn't know anything about digging holes. I'd never seen a snake before. I saw a rattlesnake. I didn't know anything about what an orange tree looked like. I'd never seen an orange tree. I'd never seen an avocado tree. I mean, all of that stuff was part of that experience. It was all new. And I had never planted trees before, ever. I had no idea about any of that. So that was where it started, I think. And then...
How old were you?
I was seven.
Seven.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's three and a half.
He's three and a half. So he's, you know, in about another 3.5 years would be kind of where I was.
Yeah.
And the next thing that happened was, well, first of all, behind everything, I always felt better if I just drank like straight orange juice and nothing else. You know, I always had a very strong predisposition for fruits.
He too. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And vegetables too, but very much for fruits. And then when I was, let's see, I think probably 18. I moved away from my mom's home, and then I started eating my own food that I bought. I started realizing something in this food doesn't agree with me. I mean, it had never agreed with me, but it's hard to detect that when you're at home with your family that you've been living there your whole life. Then I got out of that environment, and eventually I realized, oh, okay, it's dairy. It's dairy product. It's the milk.
Okay.
So I literally went cold cucumber, just like that, boom, and got off of all dairy, all eggs, all cheese, everything, milk, everything, on one go. And I've been off of that for 25 years. I mean, it's been a long time. I don't do dairy.
And did you try also raw milk or only pasteurized?
But it doesn't agree with me. I mean, fresh milk out of a goat doesn't agree with me.
No.
My body rejects dairy products of any type.
Well.
Yeah, so then that started me to start looking into this whole nutrition thing as a hobby. Because I was 18, you know, and I was on my way to do what I was going to do with my life, but I started as a hobby. And then just kept going more and more and more and more. And then by November of 1994, I did my first lecture.
Okay. And it was about?
And it was about food, of course.
Yeah, but...
And,
about superfoods, or was it just
raw food? This is before superfoods. This is when I was just a raw foodist. Because eventually what happened is I became a raw foodist.
Yeah.
And then people would ask me, I was in part of this young entrepreneurs group with my cousin and my best friend, and people would ask us, why do you eat like that? What do you, because we would bring in an avocado and eat the avocado during the presentation or during the party or whatever it was, and they just had never seen anything like that, ever.
Was there also judgment about it?
Well, I thought this group was actually very open-minded. I mean, this group was great. So, where was I?
So you were giving your first lecture.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a lot of judgment. I mean, they were pretty open-minded. But they just thought we were crazy. They're like, what is this? It's interesting. I ran into one of those guys from that meeting, you know, from that group.
Yeah.
This is back in San Diego, because eventually we moved to San Diego where my uncle lived. And I ran into one of those guys years later, after I'd become like big health food guy, you know? And he just looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
He saw it from the very beginning. He was there the first event. You know, I've done 2,600 events since then.
Wow.
That's a lot of events.
Talk about history, yeah.
Yeah, and I've done every kind of event, you know, for every kind of situation. People say to me, oh, you're always just speaking to the choir. No, I'm not. I'm never speaking to the choir. Mm. I was in a cancer clinic for kids the other day in Iceland. You know, it's always something different.
No, it's different.
It's different, yeah. So, you know, all that experience, all that time, you learn things, you find things out. You can't just stay on the same philosophy all that time because you find out things are different than what you believe they were.
You're on the moon now, compared to normal, what they call normal food. So,
I mean, it's like superfood, right?
Yeah.
And super herbs.
Super herbs,
It's really both of those two. It's not just one, it's both. Because the herbs is like, you got to deliver something. If you're going to have all that nutrition, you need to be delivering immunological compounds. You need to be delivering something that's really innovating the way your immune system works, or the way your brain works, or the way your longevity is evolving, or what, you know, something. It's got to have something in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so over the years, it became like, okay, in the beginning, it was like lettuce and carrot. Okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, we love lettuce and carrot. Wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's just not like doing it for me anymore. You know, I still eat salad, I still eat lettuce and carrots and love it, but it's not at that level of like transforming my telomeres or something.
It's like living 3,000 years like you want to.
Yeah, exactly. So if your goal is to live like an extraordinary long period of time,
it will
cause you to ask different questions and behave differently and investigate different things than if your goal was to be, you know, living in an apartment and meditating. You know,
Be active and do things.
And what?
Be active, do things
for
1,000 years.
Yeah. So, you know, your goals actually very strongly determine what you're going to investigate. And my goals are, I have very lofty goals, and it's determined what I'm going to investigate and what is going to show up for me and what has showed up for me.
Yeah.
And that's great. I mean, it's amazing, actually, what has happened.
It is for me very amazing to see you. Because I was following you, maybe 6 years or something.
Okay, just a long time.
Not for you. I mean, if I would have followed you from the beginning, then it would have been a long time. But I just discovered you 6 years ago, and then I bought one of your books, and then I was just hooked. It's just amazing to me how my information evolves from the beginning of what I knew about you, like, okay, superfoods, and it's very up there, and but now it's just exploding million particles of joy and beautiful.
It's really amazing what's happening. In Iceland, where I just was, any supermarket, they have superfoods.
Oh, wow.
Any supermarket.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. Any shop.
Oh, we have to move to Iceland.
Yeah, I know. Iceland's pretty good. It's a pretty good destination.
Actually, I wanted to move somewhere where it is warmer than Holland, but Iceland, if they have that in the supermarket.
Iceland really doesn't get that cold. It's the wind.
Yeah.
Iceland, I mean, you bring Icelanders to Canada where it's minus 25, they're freezing. Like, what do you mean you're freezing? Because it only gets about minus 10 in Iceland.
Oh,
the
okay.
wind is terrible, but it's not that cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually very puzzled about, I discovered you and your superfoods like 6 years ago, but I started only when I gave birth, with just cleansing and detoxing, and mm-hmm. it was quite. I went also cold turkey. I went on superfoods and raw
cold
food.
Cold cucumber.
Cold cucumber. Yeah, that's true. The detox was horrendous.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was breastfeeding. I'm still breastfeeding at this age. So it's for me, it was looking for a solution with detox and with breastfeeding, because maybe you know, or maybe...
It's hard. It's a tough... You don't want to do those together.
Yeah, it's true.
It's too difficult. I mean, yeah. If you're going to do anything while you're breastfeeding, the best thing is to really feed your immune system. And then that also, some of those sugars show up in the breast milk, and it helps feed the baby's immune system.
Yeah.
And your own improved immune system actually improves your ability to detoxify yourself. But that's as far as you can go when you're breastfeeding. There's just too many, I've just heard too many bad stories.
Yeah, I turned it around, actually. At one point, I started drinking green smoothies and juices. And that worked much better. Like, you don't detox as much, and you just take it very slowly.
What were you doing before?
Just eating stuff. normal stuff.
Like, you were eating normal stuff, like just normal. And then you suddenly went to...
Yeah.
Like, just...
Like, suddenly I went first I went on superfoods.
Okay.
And raw food superfoods, and I did that for maybe 2 months, and then I had a horrendous, like I said, detox together with him. And we had like I don't know, 2 weeks just flat.
Wow.
And after that I thought, maybe I should find another solution, because
you're
working.
A mom. You got.
Yeah, and I'm also a single mom. So.
Oh my God.
That's for single, and that's a very apart group, because when you're a single mom, you just have to be 24/7 with your child.
Yeah.
You have to breastfeed. I mean, you don't have to, but you want to.
Yeah.
We sleep together, so we do everything together, like you see now.
Yeah.
And it's fine, but you have to. Like, find a good way just in between. So how to start? Do you have any idea how to start, where to start when you are in such a situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, here's a really good place to start. Find a little plot of land and start growing your food and get him involved in it. That's a really good place to start.
We did that, yeah.
Yeah, that is like the beginning of a lot of healing comes from that, just being connected to the earth and growing your own food, and really, especially for a child, that he can put his love and his attention on a plant and then see what happens later, that's a tremendous education. And then once you actually grow the tomatoes or whatever, then you have this ability to actually eat them. You know, so it's this really important idea that we need to get into kids really young, and it's really for everybody. This idea of non-edible landscape is insane. I mean, it's complete madness.
Yeah.
It's
madness. Yeah. Why?
Why? It's like, if you're going to plant a tree, let's make it edible. If you're going to plant grass, forget it. Let's put something that we can eat.
Yeah, just a wheat grass.
Yeah,
where
you could make a wheat grass or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's
we have a small garden, and I planted wheat grass, and my neighbors were like, "What are you doing?" But yeah, well, I can juice it.
So that's a great place to start. Just is really developing that connection with the earth.
Not everybody can do it.
I know, because they don't have the earth.
Yeah, because in Holland it's
so hard to even have
amazing.
A piece of earth.
I was looking for it, and now we have it. It's very small, but it's just much more than everybody has. I have like a lot of, I work in a group of women. It's like a breastfeeding group, but they also.
Is it the La Leche League?
It's something that actually started with La Leche League, but it's just...
It's evolved.
It went to another sort of thing. And we don't know where to start, because if you are pregnant and you hear about these things, you also don't want to do that in your pregnancy, but you also don't want to do it after the child is born and you're still breastfeeding.
Yeah,
and then you're thinking, okay, then I should wait like when he until he stops, maybe 4 years old, 5 years old. But you don't have that much time as a mother. So you want to do something.
Yeah.
So where to start? Mm-hmm. What to do first?
For as a general rule, superfoods and super herbs and raw food is very safe. So that's important to know. But it's the detoxification. It's like you're kind of coming off of all these drugs. Like wheat, just the withdrawal off of wheat is like drug withdrawal. It's like an opium. It is opiates you're coming off of. So it's tricky. It's very tough. I mean, I think the best strategy is to add in the good stuff and not try to jump too fast. It's really the best strategy. You just got to start adding in the good things and let nature take its course. Yeah. But if you try to jump too fast and really change your core diet, and when I say core diet, I'm talking about where you actually get your calories from. You know, so for me, like my whole diet is really centered around nuts and seeds, because that's where I get most of my calories from. Now, if you look at somebody else's diet, their whole diet is centered around chicken. That's where they get most of their calories from.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else, you look at their whole diet and it's centered around rice. That's where they get most of their calories from. So you need to look at that and you need to figure out, okay, what is my diet really centered on? I mean, what is it that my body actually is eating? Because everything else is a decoration. The candy is a decoration. The salad is a decoration.
Yeah.
The apple is a decoration. It's not really the big core bulk of your calories. So where is that core bulk of the calories coming from? And if it's coming from like chicken, then you need to go, okay, how do I change this? And how do I do it incrementally? But you first have to understand that.
Yeah. I usually say, well, just start with green juices or green smoothies or like the green smoothie with chlorella or with spirulina, because I think to me it was anyway that the greens were the most cleansing, but also not in a very heavy way.
That's a very good first step. I like vegetable juice. I like the green juice revolution actually a lot, because what it's really doing is it's bringing us very close to what Anne Wigmore really wanted and what she had in mind, which was, do you basically get people on a green diet with no protein, fat, or carbohydrate?
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting idea. So it's a disguised fast, but it uses the green as a buffer for the toxins. Which
yeah.
is perfect, because that's what green is. It's calcium and magnesium. It's a buffer. It's a neutralizer. It's an alkalizer of the toxins.
Yeah.
So it's a good strategy. I like it.
I was listening to Angela and Matt Monarch a few years ago, and they said that they had a conversation with you, and that they asked you, what would you choose, a green juice or a green smoothie, and you said a green smoothie, and then Angela said, I don't understand, Dr. Wolf. Why? So she didn't understand. But maybe can you tell us about what the differences are between the two and what are the advantages of
juicing? Okay, so I think they were probably talking. I think she had done a number of juice feasts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was the context. So let's talk about this for a second. Basically, when you're juicing, there's no fiber or very little fiber. Everything in all nutrition and everything always fits into a population curve. There's some people that can be really, really damaged by having no fiber going through their system for a long period of time. Like, for example, if you just drink green juice for 90 days straight or whatever the juice feast is, some people can do that and they're like, you know, what's the problem? It's easy. But some people actually causes very, very intense intestinal discomfort and might even send them to a hospital because they need the fiber to help move everything through, and that's just the way their body works, their intestines work. I'm kind of in between.
Me
I can't
too, yeah.
do long
yeah.
juice fasts. I'll just go to water. I don't want the juice. I'll just go to water. I don't even need it. Because it makes me uncomfortable if I just only have juices. And basically, again, the juice has had the fiber spit out, so all you have is the juice material coming in. So for long-term use, blended food. Now, there's a benefit to juicing in that it's very immediately available. Within like 15 minutes, it's in you, it's in your body, it's in your bloodstream. Juicing or blending is a little bit longer, but it's on the same principle, because with blending, you're liquefying the food, which is the whole principle of digestion anyway. It's the whole premise of digestion. blending can, it maintains everything there. It's all the fiber is still there. Even though it's been finally broken down, at least it's all still there. So blending is going to be the direction that I'm going to go for long-term use because I need that fiber. That's how my intestines work. I don't do well with juice, fiberless drinks.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, occasionally I have them. I mean, I have them actually daily, but with food in my gut. So the food has the fiber and it moves everything through.
I blend the juice with leaves. And I also heard you say once that that lemon is also very good as for women. For women, you said there are 3 lemons, and for men, 4 lemons a day would be good. You think that is that also like for breastfeeding women? Should we also add that or?
Yeah, I like lemon a lot. I mean, I like citrus fruit a lot, but citrus fruit, just like everything else, is some people they don't agree with it. Some people they love it. In this climate, citrus isn't what you'd have. It's apple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's apple juice, which is what the acids, right?
Yeah.
And see, those acids break down the calcification. They're very detoxifying of the liver. They're really good liver cleanser.
Yeah.
Like soap. So in this climate, what you use apples. You use apple juice. You use apple blended applesauce. You use apple cider vinegar. You use apple cider.
Yeah.
All of those things have a very specific effect. They do. And in the subtropics to the tropics, it's lemon and lime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In that way. And how do you go about finding out what's good for you, except experimenting?
You could use kinesiology. You could, which is muscle testing.
Yeah.
Especially if the person is a real good muscle tester, or if you're able to do it on yourself in a way that works, that's really good. I also have seen, you know, whole different technologies of with the testing people for allergies, which is good, but I think kinesiology is better.
Do you know any technology to do it on yourself or anyone?
Yeah, it's this right here. It's the one that you do on yourself is basically you have, it's this. You walk around and you do that.
Yeah.
And you're just doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, if it breaks, then you go, what was I just thinking about? Right? So it's a little, this is the one that the woman used in, what was her place? Paralandra in Secret Life of Plants. You remember that book?
Yeah.
And there she used this strategy for detecting the presence of nature spirits and all different kinds of communications that she had with nature spirits and all different kinds of angles of how to grow her garden and how to work with the land using this. Basically, this is what David Hawkins discovered with his whole research on the discovery of the presence of God, the power versus force. Is that basically kinesiology reveals the presence of God. It reveals the presence of higher energetic power that's always nearby, that knows better than our conscious mind knows. So basically, you know, we're always in this thing of like, okay, we got to think about it, we got to know, it's got to be this or that. That's our conscious mind. Our conscious mind is confused, it doesn't know. But there's an energy that is around us that does know if the thing is right. And this is how you do it, detect it within yourself.
Because I was using this pendle thing.
Yeah.
And that also gives some answers, but I didn't know this one.
You have to be very skilled. I mean, kinesiology is very difficult. You have to be very skilled. Fortunately, I've seen very skilled kinesiologists, very good people.
Very interesting stuff. Did you ever use sprouts in your...
Yeah, absolutely. I love sprouts.
In your use, or you just... You also do it now.
I don't eat enough sprouts. I like sprouts a lot. I'm on the go a lot. It's not, I don't pick it up as much. You know, I like making like my own little sprout salad. I mean, I love that. If I can get really good sprouts, it's really awesome. I really love it. If I can get, if I can get really good sprouts and then make myself kind of like the old style sandwich, with like chia crackers and, you know, like, you know, basically like a raw sandwich. That's really good. I love that.
And do you make them yourself, or do you grow them yourself?
I have. I don't now. I'm moving too fast.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. You're never home, actually.
Yeah. Although, I'll get home on Wednesday.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, where are you going next?
I'm going to go home.
That's nice. Let's say that a woman wants to start with raw foods or with superfoods. Where to start?
I'd start with very gentle stuff like chia seed. I would go to like goji berry, stuff that's really, really soft, very, very gentle, easy to deal with. Goji berry tea, something really simple like that. Take goji berry tea and use that to hydrate your chia seeds.
Ah, yeah. That's
stuff like
idea.
That. And then if you're pregnant or you're nursing, I'd recommend going, if you can get the marine phytoplankton, the high DHA marine phytoplankton, yeah, to go to that nervous system type of food. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to go that way. So can you tell us about like chlorella, spirulina, and marine phytoplankton, and the green blue algae, and all these?
Yeah, these are the original life forms of the earth, and they've been here a lot longer than we have, and they're always forming the basis of ecologies on whatever planet they're found. You know, because I personally am not at all in the belief that this is the only planet with life on it. I think
not.
If you believe that, I've got great beachfront property I'm willing to sell you in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Right on the ocean, you'll love it. Wyoming, it's amazing. So it's the basis of the first step of life colonizing a planet. You know, the first thing is probably bacteria, and then gradually you build up these plankton in water, which, you know, we call them blue-green algae. But they're a marine phytoplankton, ultimately. They are. They're microalgae. They're marine phytoplankton. And then you'll build up all the stuff that will grow in fresh water and in salt water and brackish water and sulfur water and all the different types of waters that exist on this planet originally and also exist in the cosmos. And that's so the blue-green algae are amazing, and the high chlorophyll planktons are amazing because they're able to take the light that's available and convert it over to like long chain omega-3 fatty acids. That's crazy. And into sugars, and convert it over also into sulfur. So here's another thing that those organisms do. They create sulfur from nothing, which absolutely irritates every scientist because we've all been brainwashed in this belief that sulfur can't be created. It has to come from somewhere. But everybody realizes when you burn your hair, it's like, oh, that's sulfur. Where'd that come from? Did you really eat enough hard-boiled eggs? I haven't eaten any hard-boiled eggs in over 20 years.
Yeah.
If I burn my hair, it smells like sulfur. Where'd that sulfur come from? Well, I suppose, and I expect, and actually my own theory is that a lot of it was created by my own body, and it was created by the bacteria in my own body. And it's the same way that these plankton create it. So when you get me into a conversation about marine phytoplankton and algae, it can be a deep conversation. Now, the whole thing about blue-green algae is that these algae, they're still living on the earth, have mostly blue pigments and a little bit of green. Sometimes it's a factor of 5 to 1. 5 times more blue pigments than green pigments. Like with AFA, it's 5 to 1. Now that's a big discrepancy. Like, whoa, this planet is got a sun that has a high amount of emissions in the green spectrum. That's why everything's green here, so it can absorb all that green. If the sun changed, like they believe it's going to eventually move over into the red, then everything will turn red. Yeah. But originally and apparently it was blue. So all the plants on the earth were blue, and the first blue plants were blue-green algae.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And they're still here.
Yeah, interesting.
It's either that or they come from a planet where it was mostly blue. So it's whatever your belief is.
Yeah.
But those blue pigments have to do with, it's a stem cell energy. It's an energy of creation. It's also a throat chakra energy. It's the energy of creating, spoken word. First there came the word. And the word is what creates. So it has to do with the initial stage of life when things are being created. Now, if you're very clever, you might realize, wait a second, I want that.
I don't want stuff that's already been created. I want to be in the access to creation. And so you might target those blue pigments as an important part of your nutrition, which I personally do. I mean, I'm very big on blue foods as they are, but when you're dealing with the extracts of marine phytoplanktons, like AFA blue-green algae or spirulina, I'm going after those blue pigments for sure. That's one of the most amazing things there is. And there's a lot of research been out, coming out on that stuff, and has been out about what it does. It's a stem cell producer. And it goes, it's like you start mixing that with the medicinal mushrooms, now you've got alchemy happening. Now you're into a really clever strategy for building up stem cells and your immune system.
And can you do that as a breastfeeding mom?
You can do that as a breastfeeding mom. If it's totally new to you, it depends on the extract. It depends on the quality of it. But blue-green algae, like for me, I don't really do blue-green algae. Let me rephrase that. I don't do AFA blue-green algae. I'll do spirulina, no problem. But AFA blue-green algae, and it has an irritating protein. So I'll do an extract of the blue pigment from AFA. But I won't necessarily do the AFA because there's a protein in there that irritates me. So if somebody's completely new, they're on junk food, they never heard of any of this stuff, I don't know if getting them on blue AFA blue-green algae is the appropriate first step. It probably isn't.
No.
But if you had them on like a good quality extract of the phycocyanin, yeah, that'd be fine because it's softer. It's very gentle. And medicinal mushrooms are great for all levels, breastfeeding, pregnancy, everything. And that's really important to know.
It's really strange because I have chaga and I have reishi, and I, one way or another, this doesn't fit me at the moment. Maybe I should try something.
How are you
else.
Doing it? What's the form?
Just smoothie with chocolate sometimes.
Are they powders? Or
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're powders.
They're powders. Okay, so you may want to switch the form up. You may want to actually get the whole mushroom, make a tea out of it.
Oh, okay.
And go that way. A lot of times with mushrooms is you got to find the appropriate one that you, not only that was good for you, but also that you will do. Generally what I recommend, I mean the safest food, the food that I generally think about when I think about medicinal mushrooms, it's called the mycelium biomass.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you see that 24 mushroom blend that I had yesterday? That's mycelium biomass. That it tastes good, feels good.
I wasn't at your conference
yet. Oh, you weren't there yesterday. Yeah, so it's mycelium biomass. Is what that's the scientific designation of what that food is. So what it is they've taken the reishi organism or shaga or cordyceps or agaricus or whatever, and they've grown it on a sterilized rice medium. So they've taken rice. By the way, it has to be organic rice.
Yeah.
They tried to grow it on non-organic rice. Won't grow on non-organic rice. Only grows on organic rice, which is interesting. Mushrooms won't grow on non-organic rice. So the idea is you sterilize a rice medium. You cook it, and you sterilize it. And then you inoculate it with reishi mushroom. You allow reishi mushroom to grow on it until it's about to produce a fruiting body. You take that whole material, and you freeze dry it into a powder. That material is the safest food for a human to eat, what
okay.
I just said.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Like,
and you have that
anything.
On your website? Or?
Yeah, I deal with all different kinds of mushroom products, but because of the safety factor, because of the importance of mycelium biomass for mothers and for pregnant women, I will always have that product available for everybody because that is it's the safest food product there is. And it's immunological, so it's not just safe to eat, but it's actually good for you. It feeds your immune system. That's amazing to have both those qualities.
Yeah. How should they use it, or how should we use it? In just tea, or?
One thing that's great about the mycelium biomass, the powder, is it tastes good. You can literally put it on anything. You just sprinkle on a salad, and it's like, it has a bready taste. It has almost like, it's like a barley, like a malted, it tastes like malty. So it can go anywhere. You can throw it in smoothies. You can throw it in elixirs. You can put it in tea. You can put it in coffee. You can put it in salad. You could just eat it. I mean, that's what another reason why I like the mycelium biomass. It's very edible. Now, when you start going to like teas, then you know, then you have there's a little bit of it. You have to like
it's
actually make
taste.
The tea.
Yeah.
And then you have to work with the taste. But reishi and chaga taste good, so that you're not going to have, it's not bitter. You know, it tastes, it's, they're, I wouldn't say that they're like, you know, eating an orange. You know, it's not
no.
sweet like that.
No.
But it's definitely neutral. You drink it, you're like, oh, I could eat that. I could, no problem. So in our community of, like, people got into shaga over the years, it goes from never heard of it to very quickly doing it every day, because it's a great base to have underneath whatever you make, whether you make soups or teas or broths or smoothies or whatever, cold or hot.
Yeah.
It's an amazing base. Both reishi and chaga are like that. They're amazing like that.
Okay, like a tea and then
yeah.
like a base.
Yeah, so you have the tea, you make the tea, you put it in the refrigerator, now you have a base. For example, I use that base all the time if I'm making a nut milk. Instead of just using water, I don't use water, I'll just use shaga tea, and I'll use that as my nut milk base.
How do you make
nut milk? So a nut milk is basically you take your, let's just say it's almonds. You take almonds and you soak them in water for 8 hours. Pour the water off, and then I'll fill that back up with shaga tea. And then if whatever I'm into at that time, maybe it's vanilla bean and a little bit of honey, and I'll blend that and then strain it, usually in a metal strainer or in a bag. And then that produces the milk. But it's not just the normal milk. It has shaga in it. It's shaga,
yeah, exactly,
almond,
yeah.
vanilla,
yeah.
honey.
And can you also mix it with like something green? Like?
Yeah, I do that too. I like for where usually when I'm doing that, I'm in, it's a winter situation, and I'll do chlorella. I like chlorella. It does really well. But then there's something to be said for just the blue pigment in there. I do that a lot too. So it's a blue milk. You make a blue almond milk. It's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And as breastfeeding, mom, how can you best, do you know anything that like superfoods that can sustain that? Or
yeah,
better?
Maca. Maca is the food. Maca, it has to be eaten in a way that's sporadic, so you don't always have it every day. You have it 3 or 4 times a week. But maca increases breast milk production, and actually it increases vigor. So actually, the thing about maca that's really special is that it's a true adaptogen in every meaning of what that word means. It helps you adapt to the situation. So if you're breastfeeding and you got like, okay, you have to produce breast milk, your maca just goes, okay, we're going to help you produce that. It's a true adaptogen. And it is well known, actually, as not only it being used to help breastfeeding mothers, but it's also been used in milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like llama milk. Like in, you know, in the Himalayas, in Tibet, they use yak milk, right? They drink yak milk. Most of the world uses cow or goat. But in the Andes, they used llama milk, and they would mix it with maca.
Okay.
Maca is a very high altitude crop. It's the highest altitude crop in the world, in the whole world. It grows just below the snow line. That's really high. It's 5,000. Wait, is this right? Hold on. It's 5,000 meters. That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And does it have different tastes? Because I tasted your longevity maca, and I tasted the maca that you can find it here in Holland in the
shops. Yeah.
Not in the supermarket.
maca is a food. So it varies. There's different types of macas. There's different colors. There's different flavors of maca depending on where it's grown. A lot of maca is grown in Bolivia, and there's a lot of maca grown in Peru. I'd say Peru pretty much is probably a little bit more sophisticated than what's going on in Bolivia. So you're going to find red macas, yellow macas, black macas in Peru. But maybe you find those also in Bolivia, but it's not as sophisticated as what's going on in Peru, as far as I can tell.
And your products or longevity products, are they easy to find here in Holland? Like because I know that there is this superfood shop in Amsterdam that sells some stuff.
Is that where you got my stuff? Was it there?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
but they didn't have your maca. No.
They didn't? Okay.
I had to...
It was off the internet or something?
Yeah. Because okay. I don't have a credit card, so I have to... mostly I buy from the shop, but I wanted to try your hair products too.
Okay, cool.
So it's a big difference. Also in the energy that you get from products.
Yeah, it is a big
difference.
It would
be nice yeah. if you could... Maybe
there are certain products like maca that we have very good maca. There's certain products like that. Cacao too. Our cacao is very
exactly.
good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's certain products like goji berry where you can find comparable goji berries here that are as good as what we have. There's certain products like macuna.
Yeah.
Our macuna superior. But you know, it's like that. You know, when you're dealing with all these different food products, you find out certain ones you can get from certain people are it. And certain ones are just, you know, as good as anything else. But I just want to put those out there for you. Those are really exceptional. Our macuna, cacao, and maca are exceptional products.
Because
And lucuma.
Ah, yeah. That's true. I'm in love with lucuma.
Lucuma. Yeah. Our lucuma is exceptional. It's really good.
I find lucuma better for me than maca.
Lucuma isn't really medicinal though. Maca is maca has punch. It's very powerful. For me personally, I can't even really do maca unless it's wintertime. It has to be actually very cold for me to even eat maca because I'll overeat. It's too much. But, you know, if I'm not living in this environment all the time, so it might be easier for you here because it's like, well, you know, it's cold, wet all the time here.
Yeah. I only have one question about the NutriBullet.
Yeah.
Because I know that you are part of the development of the NutriBullet.
Yeah.
And can you tell us about it a bit?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's really amazing. I grew up with a blender. When I was 4 years old, I came down the stairs... in our old house, and it was very early in the morning. It was like 6 in the morning, and my uncle was there, and he had the blender out, and he was trying to make this drink, and he showed me how to use a blender, and that's where it started. One thing I love about the NutriBullet, unlike any other blender, is you cannot get a child's hand in there. It's completely safe for children. That's super important for me personally because I grew up with the other stuff that it's like any kid can get their hand in there. I was always warned, and it had always been on my mind. Another thing I really like about it is there's no switches, there's no dials, there's no on-off.
Yeah, because you just put it on and
you just put it on and it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just go click and it's off.
Yeah.
It's very, very easy to use. It's also BPA-free plastic. So that's good.
That's very important.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
It would be glass. I mean, they want to do it glass, I want to do it glass, but there's a lot of problems with glass with breakage. You know, you have the spinning blade, and if you send a piece and it hits that glass, it can shatter. There's just a lot of factors, but it will come eventually with a glass attachment. That may be a couple years away, but that's going to happen. That's in production right now. The motor it's high-tech stuff. This product is not even possible 10 years ago. It's not possible. It's only really possible at the innovation level of where we are now technologically. A lot of blenders move. They move around. The NutriBullet doesn't at all, ever. It stays exactly still. That's a very, very difficult...
Is it because it's very heavy or...?
No, it's very light. That's another thing that's great about it. It's easy to travel with. It's the best traveling blender. But it's because it has to do with the way that the rotor... is perfect in perfect, it's called in engineering, it's called tolerance. So that means if there's any in the center thing, if there's any disturbance, it'll
then
start moving.
Yeah, exactly.
It moves. So you have to have it in perfect tolerance. So that's also a very cool thing about the NutriBullet that I really like about it. And another thing I like about it is that it's, in most blenders, you take the actual pitcher and you pour it into your cup and then you go. But the NutriBullet, it's actually the cup is it.
Yeah.
So when you're done, you literally can just run with the whole thing out the door.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you can take off the top and drink it.
Is it very still? Is it stiller than, more silent than
Yeah, oh, it's more silent than Vitamix.
Than a Vitamix.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Vitamix is very is loud.
Yeah.
We're dealing with, let's see, it's a 600 watt motor. Vitamix is like 1800 watts. I mean, it's significantly higher. And the Nutribullet is like, it has a clean sound. You know, it doesn't sound like an airplane taking off. It's loud, you know, reasonably loud, not as compared to a Vitamix, but as compared to most any kitchen appliance. But it has a nice, you know, sound.
Nice loudness.
Yeah. Now, European plugs, you're probably wondering about European plugs. I've sent them a couple of emails this week about European plugs. I haven't heard from them, but then again, I may hear from them today, because today is Monday, but it hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'll find out this evening.
That would be nice, and when you do that, can you also sell it through the European shops?
Yeah, it will be sold through European shops, absolutely. It probably, I'm not sure, we'll see how it goes, but, you know, the TV show that I do with it in the U.S. and Canada, I don't know if they're gonna translate it over to here. I think they're just gonna go directly into shops with it. But I don't know. I'll ask. I've asked them before, and they give me different answers. I'll ask them again.
I don't think it's needed because it's all over the internet, and everybody's just saying the best things about it. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. It's got its own momentum going already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's a really fun toy. I would have brought mine, but it's just don't have the European plugs.
No. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Right on. Thank you. Fantastic. Awesome.
Well, it's a dream come true to talk to you today.
Fantastic. Thank you.
So nice.
Great. That was fun.
And you are going to be the first of a summit, which I'm organizing now.
Oh, fantastic. Is it on breastfeeding or is it on?
It's on, actually, it's called Greens for Moms, and I just want to make it known that greens actually are very important. But
you know, just on this point, it's a very important point. You know what they give babies? It's one of the main things when a baby's born. What do they give them? What's the shot? It's vitamin K. You know,
yeah.
You know where it comes from? It comes from green vegetables.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, moms eat so little green vegetables just in the world that they don't have enough vitamin K.
Yeah.
And the baby doesn't have enough. So they literally have to inject the baby with vitamin K. That's
well, they don't do it here. They give it just orally.
Oh, they give it like a pill.
Yeah, they give it orally, but not like a pill. It's like a substance.
It dissolves.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you just put it on a little spoon and you give it. I mean, I was responsible to do that with him. And some babies, I know that they react very, very, not very well to that vitamin K,
yeah.
And also to that shot. So it's better to to
eat
drink it before, yeah.
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 Yeah. I found that to be amazing. They tried to throw that on Sky, and then you know, Sky was like,
yeah.
he really like started looking into it, like, what the?
That's very nice to know.